I have a testimony this morning. I'm really thankful to God. What am I thankful to God for? On Friday night, 6:30 in the evening, Renita and I are just sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden we hear this, boom! We think, what was that? We walk outside, and there was a tree, which was actually two trees in one, had fallen over, hit our truck, and then hit my car. Why are you thankful for that? Because I'm thankful that the tree didn't hit the house. I'm thankful that nobody was injured. I'm thankful that the same God who provided everything for me before is the same one who provide everything for me in the future, right? I have favor with man. I one of the things is I've got this new car. Most of you know it's an older Lexus, but I just love the car. And timber, and the windshield's out, and there's dents in it, and all of that stuff. But it's okay, because it's just temporary. It's just temporal stuff. It doesn't mean as much to me as Jesus does. It doesn't mean as much to me as my family does. I'm just grateful for what I have, right? I'm grateful for what I have. It's so great. It's so awesome. God is good. Hallelujah. Listen, this morning and for the next 4 weeks, if you possibly can make it every week, I think it will benefit you if you do. The next 4 weeks, maybe five, you know, because I kind of, you know, go on and on and on. But watch this. In the next 4 weeks, I want to speak on the subject of the heart. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And there's one verse in particular that we'll get to, but I'm going to start in verse 20. It may not be up on the screen, but that's okay. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, this is the key verse for the whole series. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. There's other translations that say, out of it, everything in your life flows from. So where you are today and where you want to be in the future is all a matter of your heart. But watch that. There are many biblical definitions when we just say them. Some of us, what does that mean? Right? Let me give you one. Propitiation. Is that a good one? Does everybody know what that means? Well, you're not going to know now either. No, propitiation just means the penalty that was paid for. Right? That's all it means. But if you don't know the meaning of that, you read the word, you go, propitiation. What is that? Right. But I don't think there's any other word in the Bible that's as important to us as the heart. In the King James Bible, the heart is mentioned 672 times. 672 times. Why? Because as this says here, let me get that out of my mouth. This says here that everything in our life springs from our hearts. And then it goes on to say that we need to guard our hearts. What does that mean? We need to put a guard around it. We need to understand how important our heart is, and then whatever it takes, right, to keep our heart safe, that's what we need to get a hold of. Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to get back into this verse a lot. But this morning, I want to talk to you and give you what the heart is. I'm going to give you a biblical definition, and then we're going to explain it. Listen to this definition. If you're writing notes, this would be good to put down. The heart is a composition of all the parts of the soul, the intellect, the will, and the emotions, plus the most important part of our spirit, which is the conscience. Let me say that again. The heart is a composition of three parts of the soul, the intellect, the will, and the emotion, plus the most important part of our spirit, which is our conscience. See, God speaks to our heart, but He speaks to our heart through our conscience. And then that's revealed to our mind. But they all work together, and you can't separate them.
Amen.
You can't separate the soul and the spirit. Like if somebody goes to heaven and is home with the Lord, that's awesome. You could say, well, his spirit is with Jesus. But it's also just as valid to say is his soul is with Jesus. Why? Because your thoughts and everything will follow you into heaven, right? But listen, why is it so important that this definition gets into us? Well, I'll tell you right now that the only way we can guard our hearts is if we know what it is. And then based on that knowledge, in the next few weeks, we'll figure out how that maybe our lives got off, or and how we can get them back. Does that sound good to anybody? Right. Glory to God. How many would love for your life, even if it's good right now, to be better? Right? I mean, even if it's the best it's ever been, I believe with God it can be better. Right? You need to pay attention now to the things that we're going to talk about. Again, we said that there's different components to the heart. And the heart's made up of the soul, which is the intellect, the will, and the emotions. I'm going to take you through scriptures to show you each one of this. You see, because it's really important that we understand that there are different components to the heart, because all scripture that you read on heart don't necessarily apply to all of them. It may be just one of the components. And if we try to interpret it in light of all the components, then we might get mistracked. But it's very simple, because the context of the scripture gives you what it's talking about. Does that make sense to you? Now listen to this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. We've got a lot of scripture to look at today. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to go to verse 4. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, and it says this, "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts," everybody say thoughts,
listen,
"said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk?" But watch this again. He knew their thoughts, because there was evil in their hearts. So thinking is a part of your heart. But watch that. It's thinking. It's reasoning. It's your thoughts. So when you can reason things out... Aren't you glad that God made us people that can figure things out? That we have our reason, that we can look at something and figure it out. I can't tell you how many times I've worked on something in the yard or on the car, and it didn't quite make sense, but I sat with it long enough, maybe watched a YouTube thing or something, and I figured it out. Why? Because God in my heart has given me my mind, which is part of the... Part of that is the intellect, which is able to reason. So part of your heart is reason. Now go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I'm excited about this series because I believe that if we'll really apply what I'm talking about today, that we'll be closer to God than we've ever been. Come on, we'll hear his voice clearer than we've ever heard it. Some of you said, well, I never hear the voice of God. You do, you just don't understand it. How can I say that? I can say that emphatically without a question, that everybody in this room, if Jesus is your Lord, hears the voice of God. I don't know. No, what you don't is you don't discern it. And he's speaking to you out of your conscience. Right? So it's not a booming thing. It's a subtle thing on the inside of you. And we'll explain that a lot further later. But in Acts chapter 11, and let's go to verse 23. It says, "Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and he watched the gates day and night." Then the tape, is that the right verse? Oh, no, I'm reading chapter 9. Sorry. Good verse. Hallelujah. I'll just read the screen in the back. That'll be easier. "When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them with purpose of heart that they should continue with the plans with the Lord." Look at that phrase, with purpose of heart. So it's not just the intellect, but it's the will too. Because to purpose means to will. If you're going to do something on purpose, you want to do it with your will. For instance, let me just give you an example. You might say, you know, I want to become a doctor. Okay, that's fine. And that's your thinking. But something inside of you has to say, I will to become a doctor. Why? Because you're going to have to do it on purpose. And you're going to have to continue doing it when it's not comfortable. You're going to have to do it when there's opposition. So you can have thinking about something, but if your will is not in line, then you're not with all of your heart pursuing it. Now watch this. This is really important. How many know the verse that says you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart?
Amen.
That means with all of your thinking. With all of your planning, right? With all of your emotions and with a conscience that is hot for him. Shh. Come on. So the heart is important. And again, I'm diverting just a little bit, and I'll be careful not to do that because I want to get through everything I want to get through this morning. But there are verses like this. It's like you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? And you go, well, okay. And somebody just hears a message and they go, you know, I think I'll do that. Well, that's part of their heart. But if they carried it on to plan to serve him for the rest of their life? And do they get their conscience put to the word of God saying that Jesus is now my Lord, right? You see, and emotions will follow all of that, but you've got to come to him and say, I believe in my heart. Therefore, that dictates the rest of my life. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's really important to understand the heart. Again, the plan or the purpose with intention, the will. Part of the heart is that will to make up your mind and be determined to do it. How many know some people who have stronger wills than others? How many know little kids? And you've said this, that is a strong-willed child. Now, it may be harder on you as a parent to train, but I'm telling you that that is not a curse, but a blessing. If you can get them focused in the right direction, that will keep them when everybody else is going a different way. You hear what I'm saying? Watch this. But the thinking that we allow ourselves to think about can overcome our will and change our will. If we're not careful to guard our will.
Right. Good word.
So, it's the heart is our thoughts, and it's our will, And now go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I'm going to preach me happy today. I've determined that. So if you want to come along, that's fine. Hallelujah. John chapter 16 and verse 22, it says, "Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." You see, so we've looked at the fact that our heart is made up of our intellect, and it's also made up of our will, but it's also made up of our emotions. That's important, right? Really, really important. But here's one that we don't think about too much. And go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but next week I'm going to paint a picture with you with one verse in Scripture that will change a lot for you, if you allow it to. That's previews of coming attractions. 10 verse 22. "Let us draw near to God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So our conscience is equated to our heart. Can you see that? Our conscience. We'll talk about what the conscience is much more probably next week. But our conscience is that place where we hear from God. Everybody that's ever born has a conscience. In fact, in Romans chapter 2, it says, even those who don't know God have a conscience. And that conscience is where we know what's right and what's wrong. And even a little child, I mean, it's just really amazing. Even when they're you know, just little toddlers, maybe they're just so innocent and cute and crawling around it. And they're wanting to get into that cupboard that you've told them not to many times. And so they start crawling over to that cupboard and look to see if you're looking. Why? Because their little consciences know that it's not right to get into that cupboard.
Right?
That's how God leads us a lot of times, is with you know what's right, but are you going to let your thoughts overrule your conscience? Because if you do, then you'll violate, watch this, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. If you do that enough, what you do is you begin to sear your conscience. You begin to talk yourself out. Did God really say? Right? Your conscience said, yeah, he said it. I heard it. I know it. I've known it before. But what is going on here? You know, somebody else said it was okay. Maybe it is okay. Maybe a little bit of that is okay. In your heart, you know, no, that's not right. Right? And I can come up with things, and I will give you some examples later. But our conscience is that very thing on the inside of us, that thing that says, nope, shouldn't do that. I'll just give you one. I know a lot of men who have said something to their wife when their conscience said, don't say it. And the wives too, but don't say it. You're going to regret it. Don't do it. But you overrule that with, bless God, I'm the man of the house and I need to give her a piece of my mind or whatever it is. And what you've just done is you violated your own heart. So again, the heart is made up of the intellect, the will, the emotions, and the conscience. Very important. The soul and the spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this indicates that we are a three-part being. And I like to say it this way because it's the way I was trained to say it. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Very important. And watch this. The spirit and the soul are so connected together that oftentimes they can't be distinguished. They can't be. Is that my spirit or my soul? Well, probably both. In fact, every time God speaks to you, he speaks to you into your heart, but he brings that thought up to your mind so that you can process it.
Amen.
Right? We all hear from God. All right, let's go on. Again, the spirit and the soul cannot be separated. Let's look at that verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's so powerful. And many of us have read that before, and we could probably even quote it. But I'm not sure we totally, fully understand it in the light of what we're talking about today. See, we've got our conscience and our soul, and sometimes if they're working together for God, that's awesome. But oftentimes our intellect will counteract our conscience. And so, well, how can I know the truth then? The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul, division of the soul and the spirit. In other words, the word of God is the basis that we have to keep our heart on track with. The word of God is the umpire when it comes to a dispute between our mind and our spirit. And if we don't let that happen, there will some other truth begin to take over where the word should be first place. And many people get off track because they don't know the word and they don't make up their minds and they're thinking that the word of God is what I need. Right? And if the word of God says it, then my mind is going to think that that's right. And then my will is to do whatever it says, right? Whether my emotions aren't there or not, but I'm going to make my emotions line up with the word of God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Because my conscience is leading me always in line with the word. That is so good. That is so good. So, the soul has three parts. The soul is the intellect, the thinking, the will, the plan with purpose, the emotions and feelings. But the spirit also has three parts. And they're not so easily defined, but I can show you in Scripture, you know, how it applies. Three parts. Go with me again to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And verse 15. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience is always bearing witness, and between themselves the thoughts and excusing or else excusing them. In other words, watch this. Our conscience is that thing inside of us. If it's lined up with the word of God, watch that, it will follow after God. But you can get to the place where you have your conscience seared so it no longer falls after God. And that's not just people who don't know God. That's people who've walked with God at one time, but they've allowed themselves to walk away from God. God hasn't walked away from them. Right? So the first part of that is our conscience. But let's look at a couple other things. The second part or function of our spirit is discernment. Discernment. That means you can pick it out. Right? If you had this beautiful diamond, right? And then you had this zinc zirconium, right? And to the naked eye, both of them were just beautifully made, and you wouldn't really know the difference. But if you took that to a jeweler who had discernment, and they'd say, "I'm sorry, this isn't real," right? So discernment is able to choose the truth. So it's talking about discernment. It says, let's go on, because it's so important. The second part is discernment. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to be in verse 11. It says, "For what man knows the things of a man except for the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God." Amen. Right? So it's that part inside of us that discerns, this is God speaking. This is what God's speaking. And really, in that same passage, it talks about the world can't know God. They can't really communicate with God. They can't be discerning oftentimes where that is concerned, because they're not connected with God. But if you're born again, you're connected with God, and discernment is part of your spirit. And watch this. Even the gifts of the Spirit, operate by discernment. Like a word of knowledge. And what I mean by that is that you have a knowledge that you don't normally have. And the way that operates is it operates in me in many different ways. But one of the ways that it operates in me, I'll be praying for somebody, and there'll be a thought that comes to my mind, that comes out of my spirit, and I'll have to say to them, I might be missing it, but this is what I'm feeling impressed of the Lord. And then I paint a picture to them of something, and it witnesses to them because I've discerned something from the Spirit as a word of knowledge. A word of wisdom is the same way. It's discerning what to do when you don't know what to do. And it comes through your spirit, supernatural. Every one of us have that ability.
Thank you, Lord.
Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in our spirits,
thank you, Lord, Spirit,
in our hearts. Oh, that's so good. And let's go to Mark chapter 2 and verse 8. We'll see this a little clearer. "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your heart?'" Now, well, that's Jesus. Jesus operated under these same conditions that you and I operate. In other words, when he became born, when he was born of Mary, watch this, he was a spirit. He had a soul, and he lived in a body. But the way he communicated with God was through his spirit. And his spirit, watch this, perceived some things. And you think, I can do that? Yes. And you'll be much more perceptive if you're following your conscience, which is guided by the truth of the word. Discernment doesn't mean, now I had this happen before. I had a fellow years ago. He'd say, well, you know, I'm an intercessor. Great. Awesome. That just means he prays for other people as God leads him to. I'm an intercessor. But he'd stand in the back and he'd discern over everybody, whether their hearts were right or not right, what spirit they had, whatever. That was nothing but witchcraft. It wasn't the Spirit of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when it's the Spirit of God, it'll line up with the Word of God and it'll have the heart of God. So part of our spirit is discernment. Now you say, well, that's Jesus. Let's look at one more, Acts chapter 14 and verse 9. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Paul didn't see that this man had faith to be healed because of his body language. Paul didn't go, well, you know, let me see who in here has, well, that's a good looking fella. I'm going to pick him. But out of his spirit, he perceived, God spoke to him through his spirit, and he said, there's one that has faith to be healed. There were more people in the room than this man, but he perceived, the same way Jesus perceived their thoughts, Paul perceived his faith. Amen. You say, well, that was Jesus, that was Paul. But you are the same build. You're the same. God has put inside of you a heart that is like an antenna to heaven.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
But I don't sense that. I don't. Well, maybe you're not looking for it. Maybe your mind, when I say your mind, your intellect, your thoughts, won't get quiet enough for you to listen to that still small voice that is your conscience speaking. Are you with me? So good. So parts of the spirit are our conscious, our discernment. And I love this one. The third part is what allows us to fellowship with God. Part of our spirit that allows us to fellowship with God. Go to John chapter 4 and verse 24. You know what? The thing that God used to draw me to himself was, I heard a man talking like, and he was just talking like God spoke to him all the time. And I grew up in a church where that wasn't really popular, you know. God spoke to the Pope and it came down through the cardinals, to the bishop, to the priest, and then we finally, us lay people, would receive it. But watch this. I said in my heart, I said, God, if you speak to him, is it possible for you to speak to me? And he did, and he still does. I said he did, and he still does. Look at this, verse 24. It says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, you can't truly worship God unless your spirit has been made new. You have new life in your spirit. You can't truly worship God. You can sing songs. You can get emotional. You can be thinking right. But in your heart, you won't truly be worshiping him because your spirit doesn't have the capacity to contain God and to fellowship with him. But all born-again believers in their heart have the capacity to worship him. Is that awesome? So good, so good, so good. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Glory to God. Listen to this. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because you're his sons. Now watch this. If you ever gave your heart to Jesus, and maybe life has been turned upside down, or you got involved with something that's drawn you away from God, I believe with all of my heart, if you truly made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you're not apart from God from the standpoint that He doesn't love you and you don't have a relationship with Him. But your heart has been seared a little bit. But if you'll open your heart up to Him, watch this. He'll be right there to meet you. Here's the cool thing. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. If you come to Him with a sincere heart, He'll meet you right there. You know His voice. You just haven't listened for a while. But if you listen, He'll teach you and show you the way out and back to Him. And because you're His sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. When I talk to God, I'm not talking to somebody that I can't apprehend, or that it's like, oh God, I can't hardly speak your name. I reverence His name. I honor His name. But I know that He wants me in His presence. Are you with me? Because that is in my heart. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Context of the verse explains what part of the heart is speaking to. And let's just go through these real quickly. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So in this verse, the context of it says that it's the emotions that he's talking about. Can you see that? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, you're depressed. You're sad. You're broken. That's the emotions of your heart. Valid. It has its place. Let's look at the will in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 3. Exodus, it says, and this is talking about the Pharaoh. This is Moses when he went to him. He said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Now here's something, and I can't skip over this. We'll delve into it a little bit more next week. But what happened to Pharaoh? Moses came to him, said, God said. And, you know, did the first miracles. But his magicians did the same miracles. So even though I think in Pharaoh's heart, he knew that it would be right to send the people away, his mind overruled his conscience. And so there was a little bit of searing that went on. So what I'm telling you, in each plague, his heart got harder and harder and harder and harder. How does that equate to us? Every time you defy your conscience, sin gets easier and easier and easier. And not only does it get easier, usually it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Are you listening to me? And so for us, we have to be very careful and understand that our conscience is so important to our heart. All right, let's go to the next one. So that's talking about the will. 1 Samuel 24 and verse 5. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. It says his heart troubled him. What does that mean? Something's not right. You've all felt that. Something's not right. Now watch this. How many have ever felt something? You did something. You said something. Maybe you acted a certain way. And in your heart you said, that's not right. But your mind comes along and says, wait a minute, they deserve that. Wait a minute, I'm justified in doing that because of this and this and this excuse that you're giving yourself. But if you'll listen to your heart and follow that, you'll know that you know that you know that what you did was wrong. And what he's saying here, because in this story, David's servant said, you know, you could have had him. You could have killed him. You could have. And David said, man, I cut his robe. That was wrong. So part of the heart and discerning it in the context of what it's saying, what the verse is saying. The last one, 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. It says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceeding great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. So he's talking about his soul here. He enlarged his soul. He enlarged his knowledge, his wisdom, and his understanding. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now watch this. I'm just going to close with this because I was thinking about meditating on this last night. Not necessarily in line with what I was going to speak about. But I thought about judges. You know, in the Old Testament and even Moses, it says Moses had people were having disputes. They'd come sit before Moses and he'd discern between the two. But he discerned based on what the Spirit of God was telling him. Right? And go on through the book. When Joshua was over, the judges came and the judges discerned between different things. But today in our society, we don't have necessarily judges that discern from the correctness of their hearts. From a conscious standpoint, they discern from an intelligent standpoint. In other words, if their truth says a certain thing, then they're judging according to that truth. But if their truth isn't lined up with the Word of God, then obviously they're judging incorrectly. Does that make sense? And so all of us, and we're going to get in next week, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. Next week, I'm going to show you where oftentimes we get screwed up. How many have ever been a screw up? Me, I have, you know. You can just ask Renita. But that I've been a screw up, not you. Listen. We're going to find out next week how we got there. But how we can get back from there. Don't you want to get back? Okay, I could go on for 10 minutes, but I'm not going to. Our heart, again, let me read this definition to you again. The heart is the composition of all three parts of the soul, the intellect, the will, and the emotions, plus the most important part of our spirit, which is our conscience. So it's kind of like start to meditate on that. Think about that. Lord, I'm supposed to love you with all my heart. Help me to discern that. Help me to figure that out. Speak to me about my heart. Glory to God. If you do that, God will begin to meet you. Go back and put up, if you can, put up Galatians, the verse in Galatians. I think it's 4:6. Can you get there? Okay. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. If you're watching online or you're here in the room this morning, are you a son of God? Has God spoken to your heart that you're His child? If He hasn't, then, now watch this. People come to a service and they'll hear the gospel. And then they begin to go, well, you know, that kind of makes sense. But maybe not today. Or I did that once. I don't want to do that anymore. Or I don't want to do that right now. I'll do that later. You have to be careful because your conscience could be getting seared to where you won't have the capacity in a later time to give your heart to Him. But He wants you today to be His son. The Bible says that it's His will for all men to be saved. And what does that mean? Saved just strictly means He wants to rescue out of spending eternity without Him. So that you can spend eternity with Him. God so loved the world that He gave Jesus. Why? So that we could have eternal life. That's why He did it. So it doesn't matter what you're doing right now. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. What thing you're facing. Here's what truly matters. Is my heart right with His heart? If it is, you're His child. Let's pray. Father, I thank You right now. In the name of Jesus, that Your Spirit is here and You're speaking to all of us. Thank You for showing us this morning what our heart is. Thank You, Lord, for showing us. And Lord, if there's somebody watching online, if there's somebody in the room that needs to reconnect with You or make You the Lord of their life, just speak to them. I can't draw them. Only You, Holy Spirit, can. But if you're listening, if you're here in the room, and there's something inside of you that says, I need to respond to God this morning. I'm not going to pressure you. I'm not going to make embarrass you. I just want this to be between you and God. So if you're watching online, you're here in the room, I'm going to pray a prayer. You pray it with me for yourself. And mean it with all of your heart. And God's going to meet you this morning. So just repeat this after me. Everybody will, so you won't be embarrassed. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I know I'm apart from You. It's sin that separated me from You. I need Jesus. I need You to come to me, Lord. I believe, Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe, Lord, that You raised Him from the dead. So that I could be made right with You. I ask You, God, come into my heart. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and maybe you're just returning to Him, it doesn't matter where you are. He'll help you get back to where you need to be. But if that's you this morning, everybody close your eyes, bow your head. I'm not going to embarrass you, like I said. But if you're in the room, or even if you're watching online, I can't see online, but if you're watching online and you really prayed that, just as an outreach, as a sign toward God and reaching to Him, would you just raise your hand right now? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on, anybody else? All right. See, right now, because you did that, God is speaking to you and God is pouring His favor upon you. You are not hopeless and you are not helpless because He's your strength and your guide. Father, we thank You for this service. If I could have the worship team come up, we're going to dismiss and allow the online folks to go. Father, we just thank You for the fellowship lunch today. We ask You to bless the food, God. We thank you for all of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The worship team is coming up in a few minutes.